Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
They swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you'll get us free from the French." The devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And they kicked the French out. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
You're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
What role does faith play in your life right now?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I grew up as a preacher's son. My father was a preacher for 50 years. Calling myself a God-fearing man, I got to read this book.
I guess you could say I got a little out of control. I dropped 400 grand on a bar mitzvah for my son. He's 9! And we're Lutherans!
I know our first impulse is when something happens in our own lives that we consider to be tragic, bad news, is to seek an answer, an explanation, if you will. Now, unbelievers are going to chalk it up to coincidence, fate, bad planning, whatever may be. Wrong place, wrong time. They have no larger explanation to which they look if they're consistent unbelievers. An atheist will say, earthquake in Haiti, the movement of tectonic plates, that is it, period. And then bad politics and all those things that made the disaster worse even before it actually occurred. But Christians can't slip out of those questions so easily. Christians have a larger focus than simply how earthquakes occur in a geological sense. We have to ask and answer questions, some of which may be asked but have no answers for us, at least here and now. Why an earthquake? Why natural disasters? Why in my own life those kinds of disasters? The question naturally occurs, what do Christians say? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 27th of January. We're going to talk with Pastor John Pless about natural disasters and the theology of the cross. And then, a little later on this Wednesday afternoon, Dr. Victor Raj will join us from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We'll talk about Hinduism and modernity, whether or not Hinduism can adapt to modernity. And what about Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison will bring us an update on relief efforts in Haiti. He recently returned from the Dominican Republic. Then Pastor Randy Asbury will help us remember, along with the rest of the church, late 4th century, early 5th century Bishop of Antioch and Constantinople, St. John Chrysostom, perhaps one of the greatest preachers in the history of the church. We'll end today's program, part 3 of our 5-part daily series on the complaint psalms. Today, Psalm 44 with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor John Pless is a regular guest, assistant professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article titled, "The Earthquake in Haiti, Again, the Why Question." John, welcome back.
Good to be with you again this afternoon, Todd.
At a time like this, following a natural disaster that garners the attention of the entire world, is it the church's job to offer an explanation?
You know, when a natural disaster like the earthquake 2 weeks ago happens, everybody, it seems, is searching around for some kind of explanation. And some folks look to the church or look to Christians to give an explanation. And some Christians, in fact, and some churchmen are too quick to try to provide an explanation. I think of two examples offhand. A few years ago, after the tsunami, a churchman, an Episcopalian minister, I think, at National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., made the rather bold statement that God had nothing to do with the tsunami. And when I heard that, my first response, try telling Job that. You know, this is the God who is almighty. He is Lord over wind and wave. There is nothing in the universe that is out from under his control. One way that folks respond, it seems, to the to a disaster is to try to exonerate God. God had nothing to do with it. Just was an accident, just a freak of nature, or whatever. The other way, of course, we heard last week with Pat Robertson. He thinks that he can connect the dots. Haiti makes a pact with the devil, and now God is visiting his retribution, his punishment on Haiti, on account of that covenant with Satan. Biblical Christians would avoid both approaches. We do not see that it is our responsibility as Christians to offer explanations. God hasn't told us why. Every place in the New Testament where the why question is put to the Lord Jesus, Jesus sidesteps it. He avoids giving a direct answer. Luke 13, for example, when people come to him with the question, were those people who were killed by Pilate while they were offering sacrifices in the temple somehow worse sinners than the rest? Or what about those people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell? Jesus says no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He doesn't he doesn't connect the dots. He doesn't give a plausible explanation of why these folks suffered and not others, but he uses it as an opportunity to call folks to repentance. Likewise, in John 9, when disciples ask Jesus about the blind man, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus says neither, but that the glory of God might be made manifest. And then, of course, the Lord goes on to heal that man born blind. Bottom line is that we are not called to offer explanations for why natural disaster, tragedy happens in the world, but we instead are given another task. We are commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to speak his word of promise, to proclaim his goodness and mercy revealed in the cross for the victims of Haiti's earthquake and for all other sinners, all other people who live in a world that is still reeking and groaning under the weight of our sin.
You talked earlier about attempts to exonerate God in these bad situations, let him off the hook, if you will. I mean, the classical term, philosophical term, is theodicy, an attempt to vindicate God in the face of manifest evil. What's the difference between theodicy, trying to let God off the hook, and theology?
Well, theodicy is, again, an attempt to defend God. I think it was the Lutheran theologian Werner Ehlert who made the observation that in the Scriptures, God is the judge and man is on the defendant stand. Man is the accused who's put on trial. And in the modern world, we have done a role reversal. We have put God on trial, and we attempt then to stand as judge over him. And so if God does not conform himself to my moral categories, then I will judge him insufficient and unworthy of belief. Ehlert says that we try to ensnare God in our own moral categories with the best of intentions, that we want to defend God. We don't want to put the blame off on God for that earthquake in Haiti, and so we end up ensnaring God in our notions of how he must behave, how he must act, if we are to believe in him, and that puts us then in control of the picture. true theology does not attempt to explain or defend God, but to simply speak of God from his own word, from what he has revealed to us in the Word made flesh, who was crucified and raised again for our justification. And that's the God that we want to proclaim in these days when folks are suffering and so much in need of the good news of a Savior.
We're talking with Pastor John Pless about natural disasters and the theology of the cross. When we come back, he mentioned before that when Jesus is pressed for explanations to the natural disasters of his day, he calls those who ask to repent, all to repent. Why? Why is the proper response on the part of Christians in the face of a tsunami, an earthquake, a natural disaster, a man-made disaster? Why is the proper response commanded by Christ? Repentance. And then, when we talk about a theology of the cross, sometimes this is difficult for us to understand because we're hardwired for a different kind of a theology of glory. That theodicy we talked about just a moment ago, it's really just another version of that, letting God off the hook, saying God can't be responsible in any sense for what happens in this world. Well, the theology of the cross says God takes full responsibility for everything. Ultimately, finally, in the person of his Son, he even takes responsibility for our sin and accepts the blame for it and accepts the punishment and the penalty for it. Now, if this is the kind of God we have, understood primarily not by way of ad hoc explanation for natural disasters, but understood primarily in the way of his Son's sacrifice for a world of sinners, we're going to have to rethink who we think God is. Stay tuned.
My biggest fear is that this is not the work of the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a God, he would never allow such suffering.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is not like your normal study Bible.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Whedon, on the new Lutheran Study Bible.
The wisdom of the church in meditating on the Word of God across the ages is supplied throughout the notes. Any wise, good thing that's been said on the basis of some text of the Bible, they've stuck it in there. It's got prayers. The Bible is replete with these little devotional meditations. It gives you help in witnessing. How can you use this particular doctrine or teaching from God's Word at this point to bring others to Christ, to help them come to know what he's done for them? The Bible is absolutely amazing. It's got great pictures. It's got, well, you can tell I'm excited about it. And I was one who was said to be jaundiced and not appreciative of it.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Study Bible.
The Bible came to the conclusion that what happened, God did not want to happen, but that God does not control laws of nature. Nature is blind. God is moral. Nature can't tell good from bad.
So what does God do?
What does God do? God gives people the courage to deal with illness. God gives people the courage to survive the loss of a child, to survive the loss of their health. God inspires friends and neighbors to come and try and comfort them. This is what God does. God does not pull the strings.
That's Rabbi Harold Kushner, author of the famous book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. We're talking about natural disasters and the theology of the cross. Pastor John Pless is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Pless is assistant professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article titled The Earthquake in Haiti, Again, the Why Question. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Why does Jesus call for all to repent when faced with these questions of evil? What is God's role? Why did these things happen to these people? Why does he call for repentance?
The sin of Adam has put the whole world in bondage. Apart from Jesus Christ, all human beings stand under God's verdict of guilty, condemned, sentenced to die. Without Christ, all would face an eternity of hell, the very consummation of God's law, the experience of his wrath. And so when there is a disaster, whether it's the disaster recorded in Luke 13, the Tower of Siloam collapsing and taking lives of bystanders, or the pious Jews in the temple being slaughtered by the Roman authorities as they offered sacrifice. That's a terrible fate, but it is a fate that really would prefigure what would be in store for all of humanity were it not for the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so these episodes are used by our Lord to call us to repent, to call us to turn away from the false gods that we make, from the securities that we would construct for ourselves, and to trust in his word of promise, to trust in the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us on the cross, that in his righteousness and under his righteousness, we indeed might escape the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. And so rather than inviting us to speculate as to why some and not others, or why did this happen to them, could this happen to me? No, that's not the question for us. These happenings, certainly under God's control, not things that simply happen as freaks of nature outside of his almighty lordship. These events do not call us to speculate, or to much less to defend God, or to exonerate God. Rather, they call us to repent, simply to trust in him.
The thing I like about the theology of the cross, as opposed to these kind of theologies of glory that we've been discussing here up to this point, attempts to exonerate God, or even Pat Robertson saying, "This look, this is just justice from God," again, a theology of glory, is that it throws God right back in the middle of all of this. I mean, it sticks him right smack dab in the middle of human suffering and makes him, as I said before the break, ultimately take responsibility for everything at the cross.
Exactly. You know, reflecting on this in the light of Luther's theology of the cross, we get that phrase from Luther's thesis, the Heidelberg thesis of 1518, and in that set of theses, when he's explaining the difference between the theology of the cross and theology of glory, or actually, most appropriately put, Luther says it's theologian of the cross and theologian of glory. And he says the theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is, calls a thing what it is. The theologian of the cross knows how to name sin as sin and God's grace for the sake of Jesus Christ as his pure, unadulterated favor offered and bestowed to us on account of Christ's suffering on the cross. A theologian of glory is always trying to figure things out. And the theologian of glory can take the Pat Robertson route and connect the dots, as I said. Or the theologian of glory can take the route of the more mainline liberal churchman who simply says, well, God had nothing to do with this, that nature is its own law. God doesn't wrap himself up in nature and in that way try to extract God and his mercy from the muck and mire of human existence. But we confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And it is this Almighty God who holds wind and rain and wave, tectonic plates, and everything else in this universe in his hand. It is this God who has given his Son into the flesh to die for us and be our Savior. And it's only through the lens of his cross that we are able then to face tragedy and to say that even an earthquake in Haiti that claims the life of 200,000 will not be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We already know that in this Christ there is no condemnation. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunami, cancer, violence, terrorism, none of that will be able to separate us from the love of God. And only a theologian of the cross can finally lay hold of that promise.
Talk about, with only a few minutes here, how that theology of the cross also is the real impetus behind Christian mercy, behind the hands extended in help to those who are suffering.
Having received the mercy of God in the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are enlivened to go to those who suffer, even when we cannot offer an explanation for their pain. We are called alongside of them, not simply to suffer with them in a kind of misery loves company mode, but to be the very hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luther liked to speak of how God works behind masks. And he works behind the mask of those who go to those folks in Haiti with food, with clothing, with words of comfort, with medicine. And God uses even such a tragedy as an arena now for his mercy to be made manifest. And so he gives us this privilege of being his representatives, of going down there and ministering to the least of these, his brethren, of showing the compassion of Christ to them in word and deed.
Then finally, with only 30 seconds, when a friend, relative, a coworker asks, how could a loving God allow the tragedy of Haiti, how briefly should we respond?
I think we need to identify that as the wrong question. It is a question that, frankly, we admit that we don't have an answer for it. God hasn't told us why, but he has told us who. He has told us that his Son, Jesus Christ, was sent into this world of tragedy, of sin, of death, to bear it all in his own body, to suffer the fate that all of us deserve, and through that suffering to reconcile the world to himself. And that in his resurrection from the grave, he has justified the whole world. For this Christ was put to death for our trespasses, raised again for our justification, Paul says. And we live by the promise of our resurrected Lord, that he is our Lord in life and in death. And so we come to those who suffer tragedy not with cheap explanations, not with attempts to exonerate God from it all, but to proclaim that the God of heaven and earth indeed is in the midst of it all through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that in the midst of the pain and in the face of the suffering and in the presence of death itself, he speaks a strong word of promise, and those who trust in that word will finally not be disappointed, even as now we continue to walk by faith, not by sight, trusting in the Lord who has been through death and now lives as our brother and as our Savior.
Pastor John Pless is Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's authored an article titled "The Earthquake in Haiti, Again, the Why Question." Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. John, thanks for being our guest.
It's always good to be with you, Todd.
Folks, if you appreciate the Christ-centered, cross-focused message of Issues Etc., please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in 2010. It's our monthly or annual giving program. Membership benefits include premiums like the I Have Issues t-shirt, books, transcripts. Find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. In the second hour of the program today, we'll be spending some time with Pastor Matt Harrison, getting an update on relief efforts in Haiti. Pastor Randy Asbury will remember along with the rest of the church. St. John Chrysostom will continue part three of our five-part daily series on the Complaint Psalm, Psalm 44, with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Right after this, we'll talk about Hinduism and modernity with Dr. Victor Raj. Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
At first, Frances Inglis believed the doctors, who said her son would improve after suffering a serious head injury. But she lost all hope, even after Thomas made clear signs of progress and decided he'd be better off dead. After she paid a visit to Thomas in the hospital, a nurse noticed he wasn't breathing. Frances had given him an overdose of heroin. He was resuscitated, but the incident slowed his progress. In spite of her admitting her guilt, she was released from jail but told to stay away from Thomas. When he was moved to a nursing home, the staff didn't recognize Frances and allowed her to visit. Within minutes, Thomas was dead from a second overdose. May this tragedy be a dramatic reminder that only God, the author of life, has the authority to end life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.